The Bloody Mary Podcast.
Welcome to the Bloody Mary Podcast, where we talk about all things horror. I'm Jesse.
And I'm Tammy, and we are totally married.
What?
And tonight, we're reviewing the new film, We Summon the Darkness. We thought it would be fun to do a short little review of a new film that we've seen.
Yeah, and that we both like. So the movie's about three chicks, friends that are traveling across the country to go see a metal show. And it's set in the 80s. And when they get there, they befriend three other dudes who are there for the same reasons, metal, partying, drugs, and stuff like that. And then after that, they all decide to go back to her house to party even further. And that's when what happens?
Murder.
Murder. Lots of murder.
Murder ensues.
And there's also the in the background, the story is that there's serial killings happening across the country.
Right. A satanic cult essentially is killing people across the country, and it's spreading panic and no one knows.
Satanic panic. Woo. Yeah. And turns out that it's what we thought. The three chicks, they're the killers.
Yes, and I love that.
Yeah, it's really fun.
I love that, and I love the characters. I love the friendship between the two main characters.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they had really great chemistry. They played off well with each other.
They remind me of Billy and Stu from Scream.
Yes.
Like, that's kind of that archetype a little bit. But anyways, they're just playing. They're dressed up. They're playing to be heavy metal fans when actually they're a Christian cult. And they're killing people in the name of Satanists to try and scare people into going to church and giving money, right?
Right. Well, that was cool because so in the cult or the church, it's when their time is up or not up, but when it's their time, then they pick three people and they do these quote unquote satanic murders.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the preacher's daughter's turn and her friend.
Yep.
And then they had another girl who they thought was ready. She was not ready.
She was not, and she helps the dudes out.
And she saves them. And so...
No, she saves one of them.
She saves one of them. That's true. So one of them, who happens to be Taylor Swift's brother, gets murdered first off.
Did not know that was Taylor Swift's brother.
And then...
Looks nothing... Brother?
Brother.
Looks nothing like her.
What I also like is the comedy of it where... things aren't going as planned.
Yeah. Like the stepmother shows up and she's like, oh, hi, mom.
And she's like, oh, okay, what are you doing here? And she's, oh, I just came to get my passport. And then the stepmom goes upstairs, does a bunch of coke.
Yeah, she finds all of her coke in the safe and does some coke. And
then she's like, wait, is someone else here? And then she ends up murdering her stepmom. And her best friend's like, you just fucking murdered your stepmom. And she's like, well, she was a problem.
I know. It's a lot of fun. And the main actress is Alexandria Daddario. I think that's how you say her name. We're just going to call her Alex D. She's really good. I really like her work. She was in Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3D in 2013. I really love that Texas Chainsaw. A lot of people don't like it, but she did a good job in that. And I like watching her do genre pieces like this.
I still have to see that. So that is definitely on my list.
Yeah, it's on all of the services. I think it's on Prime and Hulu.
All right. Well, that's another one to watch.
Anyways, she did a really good job. The director is Mark Myers, and I didn't know anything about him. I looked him up. He did My Friend Dahmer. He started doing a short film in 1998. The last thing he did was he shot this back to back with a drama, and the drama, I don't think it's out yet. It's with Liv Schreiber and Marissa Tomei. So that's interesting.
That is
interesting. So he's doing stuff, and he's working with more notable names, which is cool. And the writer of this wrote, I think, what's it called? Bury My Ex or something? Yeah, something like that. But it was the movie that had Alex D in it with Anton Yelchin.
Oh, remember that movie? I do.
Yeah. So that writer wrote this. No, it makes sense.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. And she does a really great job of playing a psycho. Oh,
she's good at being
she's
nuts.
A great psycho.
Because she has a... she can act where it's not, she's not just psycho. You can see there's more going on
right
in there.
And her eyes are very captivating too.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that pulls you in.
Yeah. But the other chick who plays her best friend, she was really good too. She, it wasn't explained. It was just one of her character traits that she just peed all the time.
Right. She just had to pee all the time. I have a weak bladder. And she was like, always peeing. Excuse me, I gotta pee. And then she's like, they're getting away. And she's like, oh, okay, come on. And she like pulls her pants up. And then the one guy and his friend like lock themselves in a room.
Yeah.
And then they're trying to get him out. So they make the other girl go find something. And then the girl has her existential crisis. Like, oh my God, I can't do this. Can I do this? I can't do this. And then she finds Johnny Knoxville's hidden tackle box of money.
Mm-hmm.
So all of those donations are actually going to pay for really big, nice houses all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
And so while she's doing that and then grabs the boat motor to like save the boys. But
she literally motorboats people. That's pretty cool.
And
I can imagine them on set. All right, motorboat take. Motorboat take, woo! I'd be doing that. I'd be like, all right, and motorboat. On the clipboard, it would say motorboat.
Motorboat take, yeah. And so when they're trying to get him out, like she, Val, the best friend, you know, is bug spray flames, and they're just trying everything. To the credit of the one guy, he really was like pretty resourceful. MacGyver, his friend's like, are you MacGyvering shit? And he's like, well, I mean, I'm trying to get us out of here.
You know, they're all like stoner young kids, and he's like the drummer that's going off to California to make something of himself. So there's this fun, a cute little subplot of him and his best friend. Like his best friend is upset that he's going, but not really. He's like passive aggressive about it.
Right.
And he,
And then,
he becomes MacGyver. He suddenly can know how to.
Oh, yeah. He MacGyvers the shit out of everything, and he's trying to save his friend, and then he finally, they think they escape, and the friend gets out and sees a car coming, and so he's like, oh, my God, help, help.
Yeah.
And Johnny Knoxville, like, comes out, and he's like, I am the darkness, and kills the kid.
I am the darkness.
And then, the cop comes, too.
Did Johnny Knoxville say, I am the darkness? You just do some like kind of bat. I'm the darkness.
I am the darkness. I am Batman.
Johnny Knoxville as Batman. I would watch that.
I would too.
That would be great.
Well, the stepmom had called the cops.
Yeah.
And so there was that layer of cops. And so the best friend ends up killing the cop. And so they have a cop that's dead.
Yeah. There's like step, like the dad comes home, Johnny Knoxville, and he opens the door. There's a dead body. And then there's his wife. And he said something on the lines of, I didn't like you anyways. And then he goes into the kitchen and like gets himself a cookie or something.
Oh, yeah.
And a beer. And like the cop is dead on the floor. And he's just like drinking his beer, eating his cookie, just fucking kids.
Right. Like I gave her one job.
Right.
And it did not go as planned.
It's a lot of fun. It's definitely a horror comedy. And just thinking about it now, I liked the main good chick, her character, and then the main MacGyver dude, how they just had this unspoken thing of they've learned how to survive on their own. That's why he know how to do a lot of things.
Right.
And she had that backstory of
an orphan, right?
Well, I think she was just homeless is what they, so she probably knows how to live like that. So they had that connection just by seeing each other.
Right.
Which was really cool that they didn't have to say it, that they just understood a little bit of each other.
And that's, I think, part of the reason why she didn't partake in the murders is like she kind of formed a little connection with him.
Yeah.
And then she just couldn't do it. And then in the end, those two are traveling down the road with the tackle box and money.
Yep.
And they stop at a convenience store, which the girls had stopped by previously. And the guy's like, oh, now be careful. There's a lot of strange, you know, people out there. And they're like, well, why do you think we can't take care of ourselves? You know, like.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a fun little take on the 80s horror satanic panic kind of thing.
Was fun. I liked the old school Twinkie boxes that were everywhere.
Oh, yeah. That was cool.
I love them luring the guys back with Nintendo. You know, mentions of the magazine Bop, which as a as a teen girl in the, you know, early 90s, that was a thing.
You read some Bop?
I did read some Bop, you know, some Jonathan Taylor Thomas and, you know, Jevon Sawa and stuff.
Great. Another thing I really liked about this, it was a good template on how to make an independent horror film. Like a lot of films like this, it's relatively one location. The main location is his house.
Right.
And I bet you anything there was no, they didn't film it on a studio lot. It didn't look like it. It looked like they had their location. They filmed a little bit in the beginning with cars going to like a little party, but then the majority of the film just takes place in that one spot.
Right.
And then the end of it, a car again. So it was really, it looked like and seemed like it was pretty budget minded and they put their money in the right places.
Yeah, no, it was really, I thought it was fun. And in the end, the Johnny Knoxville comes out the survivor, and then he blames it on the satanic cult, killed his daughter.
Yep.
Or no, his daughter turned, she was misled by the darkness.
Yes, yeah. But she was actually ran over by the car. That's how they killed her at the end, right?
Right.
Yeah.
She fell out a window and then she got up and then in his driveway is just a skid mark of blood.
Yeah. And then later on towards the very end, you just see her hair on the front grill, which is pretty gnarly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other best friend gets her hair lit on fire.
Yeah. But you don't see her die.
Yeah. And they're, but they
Satanic
had some
panic too.
Yes.
Panic at the disco. That would be rad.
No, it was just fun. It was a really fun watch. It made me laugh.
Mm.
There was some fun kill scenes.
Yeah.
A lot of fun 80s throwbacks.
I like the wardrobe. Yeah. Like you said, it's a lot of fun. Short and sweet. Yeah. What would you give it? What would you rate it out of 1 out of 5 Bloody Marys?
I would give it a 4.
4?
Yeah. I just had fun. It was fun.
You know, I'm right on the same page with you. I'm going to give it 4 too. 4 out of 5. Yeah, it's a good movie. It's like if you want to watch cool independent horror flick, check it out. And also, they have really rad poster art. They have like 4 or 5 different designs. So if you, you know, if you don't see the movie, just look it up and check out their posters. We Summon the Darkness, some really cool designs, like 80s throwback and some stuff that harkens to like the 90s.
Just the trailer was, when you showed me the trailer, I was like, I want to see this. The trailer was fun. Like it
was
just
cool. I'm like, what are they going to use that motorboat for? Or boat motor, whatever.
Stuck on that. Yeah, it's not like the most amazing horror movie, but you're going to have fun when you watch it.
Yeah. Well, anyways, that's our quick kind of review of We Summon the Darkness.
Yes.
Check it out if you're looking for a cool little horror flick and you like the 80s and babes and blood and Johnny Knoxville.
Right.
Yeah. Well, our Bloody Marys are dead, and so are we.
All right, so stay safe, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
The Bloody Mary.